familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
Are you planning to adopt a newborn? Do you know you can still breastfeed your baby even without giving birth? Is it possible to get a full milk supply? Should you plan on supplementing? Today, we're talking about what it takes to create a milk supply and how this extra effort benefits both mom and baby. This is The Boob Group.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. The Boob Group is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for all things related to breastfeeding. I'm your host, Leilani Wild. I'm also an IBCLC and owner of Leilani's Lactation and Doula Services. Thanks for tuning in today and being a loyal listener of The Boob Group. Don't forget to visit our website and subscribe to our newsletter for updates on new episodes. You can stay connected by downloading our free apps available in the Android, iTunes, and Windows marketplace. Here's Sunny to tell us more about how you can get involved with our show.
All right. Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group. We love to hear from our listeners, and we have these segments that you guys can be part of. So I'm going to share a couple different ideas, ways that you guys can participate in our show. So one of the segments is called Boob Oops, which is, you know, our funny breastfeeding and pumping stories that we have. Perhaps someone walked in on you when you were breastfeeding or pumping. We've had some stories like that, or just funny things happen while you're pumping or breastfeeding your baby. Anyways, we want to hear these stories. They're really funny, and it really helps to motivate other moms out there to know that we're not the only ones that, you know, have something funny happen to them. And there's another segment I really like called Mama Hacks, and it's where we share our pumping and our breastfeeding hacks that we've discovered, you know, things that make life a little bit more simple when you're breastfeeding or pumping for your baby. So if you've discovered one of those amazing hacks and you just want to share it with other mamas out there, we would love to help you with that. So a couple different ways that you can submit for these segments. You can go onto our website and find the contact link, and you can send us an email and you can share your story that way. But if you want to tell the story yourself or share the tip yourself, the best thing for you to do, and this is my favorite way for people to submit, is to use our voicemail. And that number is 619-866-4775. I love it because we can actually hear your voice. You can say the story or the tip in your own words. And then I think it's nice too for other moms to hear other moms, not just hear Leilani and I talk all the time. So those are two great ways that you can submit for the show, and all of our segments are listed on our website for The Boob Group, so feel free to go to our website at newmommymedia.com and check it all out.
Let's meet our mom that's with us today.
Hi, I'm Hope, and I'm 32 years old, and I work as a postpartum and birth doula and also as a lactation counselor, and I'm also an adoptive mom. I have one daughter who is 2 years old.
All right. And you breastfed her, right, Hope?
Yes, I did. Yep. And I'm still sometimes breastfeeding her.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
All right, so before we begin our episode today, there was a news headline that caught my attention. I thought might interest you guys. Maybe you've seen it if you're active on social media, but there's a photo, actually multiple photos. They're calling them emotional photos that are going around on Facebook and probably, I don't know, Instagram and every other social media outlet out there that allows you to post photographs. It's of a Florida mom. Her name's Sarah, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer when she was 20 weeks pregnant. And before she gave birth, she underwent a mastectomy and the first round of chemotherapy. And then her child was born. She really wanted to breastfeed her baby, but she was about to start another round of chemo. So she could only breastfeed her baby for the first 2 weeks of baby's life. So there was a photographer that took some photos because this was such an important time for her. And even though it was, you know, 2 weeks, it wasn't exactly what she had in mind. She was still able to do it for a little bit and, of course, have these photos afterwards to show. And I believe it was the photographer that posted some online. I don't know. Photographer mom posted some stuff online, and it's just been shared by thousands of people on social media. In the photo, you can actually see the mom doesn't have any hair. She has a scar on her chest that's visible. And she's just holding her baby in her arms, and she's crying, you know, because it's such a happy moment for her. So is anyone, did you see this online, Leilani?
I actually had not seen it, no. But wow, it's a powerful photo.
Yeah.
Oh my.
You know,
that was amazing.
I know, right? I mean, it's just such a, I'm getting chills actually just talking about it because, you know, we do whatever we can for our kids, and it's just so powerful to see a mom, despite everything else that's happening in her life, just be able to have that sweet moment with her baby. So
Yeah, she found something positive in the moment and took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, and shared it with a lot of other, even unintentionally. She said she had no idea that this was going to be, you know, people were going to, you know, take to these photos so much. So obviously we wish Sarah the best. And thank you for posting these, Sarah, if you are ever listening to our show, because I think this, I'm so emotional, but, you know, can really help other mamas out there. And I'll be sure to post this to our Facebook page. So if you guys want to check it out, see the photo. There's a couple different media outlets that are talking about it right now, but yeah, very nice.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Today on The Boob Group, we're discussing breastfeeding for the adoptive parent. Our expert, Alyssa Chanel, is an IBCLC with a private practice in St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you for joining us, Alyssa.
My pleasure.
Alyssa, is it possible to breastfeed even if you didn't give birth to your adopted child?
Definitely is. And it may look a little different. It may look similar to a mother who's given birth, but it may look different in the sense that the mother is nursing with an at-breast supplementer, which means it's a bag or a bottle that hangs around mom's neck with a tiny feeding tube that leads to the nipple, and it can carry donor milk or formula, so surplus milk that the mother is not making, so that the mother can feed at the breast. Or a mother may do some feeding at the breast or some nurturing, just comfort nursing at the breast and some bottle feeding. So there's lots of ways it can look for a mother who's adopted.
Okay. And she can also make some milk herself. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. So even the mothers who are using the at-breast supplementer may be providing some milk directly from their breast and some milk from the supplementer. That's typically the way it looks.
And Hope, mm-hmm. You had an adopted child, and you were you able to produce milk for your baby as well as supplement?
Yes, I was able to produce a pretty good supply, but my supply did kind of ebb and flow depending on, I guess, where I was at with my cycle, because I never really didn't have my cycle. So just depending on what part I was at, I sometimes had a really good supply. I mean, there were times that I could pump 7 ounces in one sitting. And then there were other times that I'd only pump 1 or 2 ounces. So I often use a supplementer, but there were some times that I didn't. And that was always like a really good feeling. But eventually I kind of felt that having a full supply wasn't as important as I initially thought that it was.
Mm-hmm. And more important was what? What was more important to you?
I think just I realized how special our nursing relationship was and that I could have that and maintain that. And it didn't really depend on me having a milk supply or not, because I could use an at-breast supplementer. And that really helped, I guess. I think that really helped with increasing my supply as well, because I had the extra stimulation all the time from using that breast supplementer.
Okay. Alyssa, can a mom actually get a full supply?
It does happen. Most mothers who induce lactation, which is what is the term for bringing in milk without pregnancy and birth, will produce some milk, but not all. And the range can really vary. It's been my experience personally, and also working with my clients, that moms have brought anywhere between drops of milk to a full milk supply. And there's various things that can impact that. If the mother's given birth before, she's more likely to make more milk. If she uses a medication called domperidone, she usually makes more milk. If she uses an at-breast supplementer, as Hope mentioned, that creates that extra stimulation, helps them to make more milk. And if they work with an IBCLC, you know, having that guided support can make a big difference. On the other hand, if a mother has infertility issues due to hormonal reasons, that can make it more difficult for her to make more milk. So those are kind of, there's a lot of factors that go into how much milk a mother makes, and that's why it varies so, so greatly.
And that's probably why it's really important to have an IBCLC to help walk you through what you're about to go through in advance as well, right? You don't wait to the last second, or can you wait to the last second if you're surprised with a baby that's arriving or adopting suddenly?
Right. You know, ideally we see the moms as soon as they make the decision they want to breastfeed. So that could be even before they have a match, and we can make a plan then. But I recently saw a mom who was like a Wednesday night, and her baby was being born via C-section Thursday morning. So she had like just hours from when we planned it to when the baby was born. And even, you know, if the baby's already been born, you know, we could start then. It's, you know, I'm really about meeting each mom wherever she's at. And as you said, with adoption, there's so many unknowns, and we have to be so flexible.
Mm. It's good to know that each mom that is about to enter into the adventure of adopting a child and wants to breastfeed, that it doesn't matter when she starts, or it's just a matter of a decision that she makes and what she does with that decision as far as reaching out for the help and putting the effort into it. Is that correct?
Definitely. And I think that's probably something that maybe isn't as well known, that it's not too late if you don't have much time. You don't need a lot of time. You can just jump right in wherever you're at.
Alyssa, how much supplement did you need, and did it change as you went through your process of breastfeeding and still up to this day?
Yes, it did change. I worked really closely with a couple of different IBCLCs as I went through my protocol, and so I was really happy that I had that existing relationship with them for when I brought my baby home. And I also worked with a different IBCLC at the hospital that she was born in, because she was born in a different state. So in all of those circumstances, I would often have her weighed and consult with the IBCLC about how much supplementation to be using. And I found that her doctor and pediatrician, while she was still in the hospital, was wanting me to use way more supplementation than the IBCLC felt was necessary, which I felt was important to consider, because I wanted to demand as much from my body as possible and not impact my supply negatively by supplementing with too much. Then I eventually used the supplementer less and less, and I would sometimes just bottle feed after a nursing session, or if I knew my supply was a little bit higher, sometimes I wouldn't supplement at all or things like that. And now we mostly just nurse for comfort, and so I don't use supplementation at all anymore. So
that's really nice. You know, you made a statement in regards to the conflict between the IBCLC and the doctors as far as how much supplement Alyssa, can you explain to us why what happens in that situation, or what moms need to know about that?
Well, probably the first thing that moms need to know is that doctors get very little training on breastfeeding. So you can imagine what they know about breastfeeding in a special situation like this is probably nothing. So I wonder if part of what Hope experienced is sort of just a whole lack of distrust of the whole the process of inducing lactation that the doctors had, that they didn't believe it was true. And that was my experience as well. When I brought my daughter to the doctor the first time, and she was exclusively breastfeeding, the doctor asked me, well, but what else are you feeding her? And I said, well, nothing. And he said, well, I mean, in the bottle. And I said, we're not using bottles. No, but what's the other food you're giving her? And, like, he could not believe it. And it took, like, several minutes of rounds of going around until he, like, really believed that she was breastfeeding.
He's not alone. There's so many people out there that haven't ever heard of this or ever experienced or even knew someone that has gone through this. So this is what's so important about educating, you know, the public and, you know, future moms about how important breastfeeding is and that it can be done. It's not impossible, as you both know.
Mm-hmm. Well, our bodies are just, they're incredibly amazing.
They are. They are. Well, when we come back, we will discuss why a mom should consider creating a breast milk supply and what the steps are to make her supply as full as possible. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the show. We're here with Alyssa Chanel, an IBCLC with a private practice in St. Louis, Missouri. Alyssa, why should a mom consider creating breast milk?
You know, there's lots of reasons why a mom might want to induce lactation. In adoption, there's often a lot of stress in utero for the baby, whether it's lack of prenatal care, exposure to drugs, nicotine, alcohol in utero, and even the stress of an unplanned pregnancy can affect the baby. So these babies are already born more susceptible to illness, so the advantage of, you know, the nutrition and immunities of the breast milk is going to be especially important for these babies. But also, probably even more importantly, is the attachment factor, that any baby who's adopted has experienced a disruption in attachment. If that baby's been in foster care or institutionalized care, obviously there's going to be multiple disruptions in attachment or even a lack of attachment for a period of time. But even babies who are adopted at birth, they start attaching to their gestational mother in utero, and research has shown that babies experience stress when they're separated from that gestational mother. And so breastfeeding is a really excellent tool to help the baby and the mother bond to each other.
Hope, what were your reasons that made you decide to create your breast milk for your baby?
Well, I think initially the first and foremost reason that I wanted to induce lactation was for nutritional reasons, because I really knew all of the major benefits of breast milk, but then also just for the close relationship and bond that would help with, just because of adoption and things like that. I knew that would be important. And then ultimately, like, the closeness and nurturing relationship that we had because of nursing became even more important than the nutrition aspect. And then I would also say something that I didn't necessarily expect, but definitely came out of it, was just a lot of healing from experiencing infertility for so many years, and just totally restoring faith that my body wasn't totally broken and that it could do something really beneficial. That was a really healing and wonderful realization to have.
Mm. Yeah, that's really important. I like what both of you have said. It seems that, you know, as an IBCLC, you understand the heart of a woman and of a woman able to carry or not carry, and then the benefits of creating that breast milk for the baby. On both ends, you guys seem to have captured the whole essence of breastfeeding and the importance of bonding with the baby. I love that. Alyssa, can you tell us about how production is made as far as maybe what the steps are to make breast milk? We've heard of, or maybe some of these moms out here have not heard of, the Newman Goldfarb protocol. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, sure. So the primary mechanism in which a mother induces lactation is stimulating the nipples and breasts. So that can be with a breast pump. It could be with the baby at the breast, particularly with an at-breast supplementer. And then if she takes medications, could be a pharmaceuticals or herbs or a combination of both, that can boost the effectiveness of the physical stimulation. So the Newman Goldfarb protocol is a set of steps. It was developed by Dr. Jack Newman for a mother through surrogacy, Lenore Goldfarb, who is also an IBCLC, and she's the one that was the first to use it and then really promoted it so that the rest of us could learn about it and use it as well. And it involves using medications as well as pumping to help bring in the milk supply. It is it can be a longer-term process, taking several months ahead of time to start bringing in milk before baby arrives. So it's just one approach that many moms have found really helpful for bringing in milk. It involves using some medications to cause the breast to change as if the mother was pregnant, to help to grow the breast tissue, as well as cause the hormonal changes that would happen with milk production and with pregnancy, and sort of stimulating the pregnancy and the birth, causing the milk to come in.
Why would a mom choose this particular protocol over her other options? Because there are, you know, as you have said, there are other options out there. Some are not as medicated of a program.
I would say the main reason that mothers choose this protocol is that it tends to really work well. It's probably, you know, the most effective approach as far as bringing in milk that she could use. But it's not a right fit for everyone, primarily usually regarding the medications, either that they choose not to or they cannot take those medications. And so there's lots of other ways to go about it and that are great. And so we want to talk to each mother and customize an approach that's going to fit her. And a lot of times we'll start with the Newman Goldfarb and take a piece out here and add a piece in there. And when you work with an IBCLC, she can help you do that in a safe and effective way to make the best protocol for each individual mother.
And as you're working with a mom in regards to using this Newman Goldfarb protocol, do you adjust it week to week as you see progress or lack of progress? Is that what you're doing?
Usually I don't keep in touch with moms that often, although if they choose to keep in touch with me, I'm happy to, you know, adjust it as needed. But usually we don't tweak it that much as we go along. It's usually once we get something set, there's not maybe a little bit of tweaking here and there, and especially once the baby arrives, then the game changes, and you know, we could work on that again.
Okay, Hope, did you use this protocol?
I did, because I really, in my research that I tried to do leading up to adoption, I felt like it probably was my best chance of bringing in the most milk. But also, I didn't know, I mean, at the time when I was researching it, I really felt like there was not a lot of good information about other protocol options. And so I started that protocol right away when we started our adoption process. And so I was able to be on it for about 6 months before our daughter arrived. And so I knew I had that lead time to be on that particular protocol, so that was helpful. But then later on in the process, I did discover Alyssa's book, Breastfeeding Without Birthing, and that actually was really helpful for me to learn a lot of other good options for additional things to add to the protocol, like acupuncture and herbs and other stimulation, things like that, and techniques for pumping. So that was really helpful as well at the end.
Hey, can I make a comment on what Hope said? When I first started my private practice and I was working with adoptive mothers, many of them had the experience Hope had where the only thing they knew of was the Newman-Goldfarb protocol. And so if it wasn't a good fit for them, they would throw out their hands and say, oh, I guess I can't breastfeed. And so that has been one of my goals in writing the book and in my private practice, is to open it up for people, regardless of whether the Newman-Goldfarb is a good fit for them or not, to help them make a protocol that can work for anyone. Or in some cases, not every mother will induce lactation, but they can still breastfeed. Some of them will just exclusively use an at-breast supplementer and provide all the food that way, or some will just nurture at the breast and bottle feed. So there's so many options so that we can make any piece of breastfeeding that mother wants, make that work for her.
Hope, if you had to do this all over again, would you change anything?
I think that I may, actually. I think that the Newman-Goldfarb protocol worked pretty well for me in general, and I found that in my experience, domperidone was pretty helpful in boosting my supply. But I guess it would all depend on if I had the same amount of lead time and things like that. And I think also just now from having so much more information from Alyssa's book and things like that, that I know that there is a lot of other options. And so I think I feel pretty open to, doing whatever would work for that particular situation, depending on my timeline and things like that. So
excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much, Alyssa and Hope, for helping us all better understand why we should consider inducing lactation to create a milk supply for our adopted child and what it takes to get there. And for our Boob Group Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of this show, as Alyssa will talk about her own personal experience of breastfeeding her adopted child. For more information about our Boob Group Club, please visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
So here's a question from one of our listeners. This is from Misha, and this is what she wrote. I have a question, but here's some background first. I nursed my first daughter, now 5, for 14 months and rarely pumped and had an awesome supply. My second daughter was born with some health issues and a cleft in her soft palate, and all I could do was pump. And after the stress of the NICU, which she was there for 7 weeks, and the stress of a feeding tube amongst her other health issues, my supply dried up around 5 months. I did, however, receive donations of breast milk for nearly 2 years. Such a godsend. Now I'm nursing my third daughter and had no problems at all until last week, and it seemed that my supply dropped overnight. When I pump, I only get 1 to 2 ounces. How do I build it up, and what could be the problem? She is almost 4 months, and I nurse on demand. My husband suggested that I quit pumping for extra milk because of all the negativity that came along with having to pump solely for my second child. Could it be a mental thing with stress? I've been taking supplements for a while to increase my supply. Any thoughts or ideas would be greatly appreciated.
This is Dawn Kersla, and I'm an IBCLC and RN at Brattleboro Memorial Hospital in Brattleboro, Vermont. So, Misha, this is quite a complicated question that you have posed for me. And the reason for this is because there can be so many different reasons, as you well know, for drops in supply. So the first thing that I want to do is congratulate you, because your babies are so lucky to have you for a mom. You have persevered under unusual situations and unusual circumstances. And so this third baby is so lucky to be getting breast milk as well. So here's a couple of things I'm thinking about. The first one is that our bodies change from the endocrine to autocrine control of lactation, usually somewhere between 8 and 12 weeks. So we kind of go on autopilot instead of so much the, you know, prolactin, oxytocin thing that we so often read about for how moms make milk. And so that's a time when we often perceive that we've lost our milk because our breasts get softer and our babies are stooling less. So sometimes it's hard to tease out that answer. But usually those babies continue to nurse on a pretty regular basis and be pretty happy with it. Another crazy thing that can sometimes happen that I would be a little worried about is if you've had an oversupply, which it's possible that you've had just because you've already nursed twice and did such a great job of pumping with that second baby for so long, sometimes you can actually have a decreased supply because all this time the baby has basically been able to be a very lazy nurser and still get all that they want. I've seen babies like just lay there and let the milk drip into their mouth. So think back a little bit and think, do some detective work for yourself on that. If you can only pump 1 to 2 ounces at a time, I would encourage you to remember that in a full day, at this point, you'd probably only be getting 1 ounce per hour, maybe a little bit more than that. So if you didn't pump for 2 hours and you got 2 ounces, you probably have a sufficient supply. And remember that your baby is probably taking some of that as well. So some of the things I would think about is, how is your baby acting? Is your baby acting still pretty happy at the breast? Another thing that I would think about, it would actually be getting a good IBCLC with a scale to help you. You could actually do a pre and post prandial weight, they're called, so you could actually see how much the baby was getting in one feeding. That's kind of a crapshoot, though, because sometimes babies are getting a lot, they're getting different amounts at every single feeding, so you'd have to like walk your fingers around before and after to see if that was a quote-unquote normal feed. But I would certainly not be afraid to continue to pump sometimes if you're nervous about that supply, and as long as you're enjoying the pumping and it's not making you feel like, oh, not again, I would certainly continue your supplements. And the other thing I have to say about stress is that for most of us, stress does not make our milk supplies go down. You want to as you well know, you want to be able to have a letdown to that pump. But I have one girlfriend, she always says that the best way to make more milk is to have a big mug of hot chocolate with a big squirt of whipped cream on it. Now, we're in Vermont where it's cold this time of year, so that would be very good. But wherever you are, think of a way to put your feet up, relax a little bit. Maybe that husband of yours needs to give you, or your 5-year-old needs to give you a foot massage, and see if that doesn't help a little bit with the stress while you're pumping. And I wish you the best. I would love to know what happens. Thanks.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to The Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, Newbies for Newly Postpartum Moms Through Baby's First Year, Parent Savers for Moms and Dads with Infants and Toddlers, and Twin Talks for Parents with Multiples. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, your judgment-free breastfeeding resource.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.